She said it because of his wet blanket energy. Unhinged.
Hello and welcome back to She's All Batch. I am Stephanie.
And I'm Jackie.
And we don't care if you're here for the right reasons. We're just happy that you're here.
Yes, so come join us as we talk shit about our favorite show. All right, guys, let's creep.
Okay, so Gabby from Zach's season, his runner-up, took to her Instagram stories and did a little AMA, and she revealed some pretty good tea. Mm-hmm. I actually think Gabby would be like a really, really good guest. To get.
Oh, so for sure. I have so many
questions.
We're going
to try to make that happen, but she did spill some already. So someone wrote, how did you know you were the first to arrive at the engagement location? Because if you guys remember, when she gets out of the van, she steps in mud and she says, when Katie comes,
don't do this to her.
Mm-hmm. Like, iconic. So her answer, though, is more than what we thought it was. She said, I knew before I went into that day, I knew it wasn't me after my last date, which was a few days before the actual rose ceremony. Generally speaking, it's pretty easy to put things together, though, based on time of day. I was pre-golden hour. But what really sealed the deal was that the van was labeled Rose Ceremony Number 1.
Oh, my God.
So it literally said on her van.
A little bit more stealthy. Jeez Louise.
I know. I did hear Nikki Farrell, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, from Juan Pablo's season. She went on Nick's podcast so long ago, and she acknowledged, like, how, you know, if you're in the final two, like, mm-hmm. there are little ways to figure out, like, if you're going first or second. And she said to Nick, I knew I was winning because the loser doesn't go home at sunset. And, like, as she's walking down, the sun is setting. Like, why would you have a breakup then?
Right.
You're going to have an engagement then.
Yeah. It sounds so obvious, though, but it still feels like groundbreaking. But at the same time, it's like, well, duh. Yeah. If it's 12 p.m. and they're like, all right, get in the van. Like, you know, it's not you.
Right. But did they really need to label the van?
No, I definitely don't think they needed to do that. Maybe they could have just had like two different color vans so that they knew or something, or like put a little code word on there. Like one is like Rose Thorn
Loserville.
And one is Rose Not
blooming.
Thorn. I'm like, what's the opposite of Rose Thorn? Rose Blooming. Yes, Rose Blooming and Rose Thorn.
Right. It's not like they have so many vans they can't possibly keep
them straight. Keep
track. It's two. You have two fucking vans. One goes first and one goes second. How about don't write Rose Ceremony Number 1?
I know.
On it. How about write Gabby? Gabby's van.
So true. But maybe the people don't know if Gabby's
Who's Gabby?
One or two. Right.
But they're maybe like, which
the
one
driver's
are you?
Like, who the fuck is Gabby? Like, I don't know.
It's like when we had Courtney on and she revealed that she was getting her hair and makeup done and a PA walked in and said, oh, yeah, Lindsay's on her way. So she knew Lindsay was going first. So she's still getting her hair and makeup done and Lindsay's already on her way to meet Ben. So obviously she knew that she was winning.
I know. You would think they would try to like keep this a little bit more secretive, but they seem to like really not care about spoiling it towards the end there.
They really don't give a shit. Also, she pulled up and it was muddy out and she steps in the mud and there were no footprints too. That's what people thought at the time.
That too. Yeah.
Like she has mud all over her shoes. I wonder what they ended up doing for Katie when Katie eventually came. Did they lay it out like a fucking...
Drove 4 feet past the mud
right.
to like a grassy area and they're like, okay, you get out here and then walk. I don't know.
So she also was asked if you're allowed to bring books. She said, yes, you can bring books. I now laugh at the fact that there was a rumor that I brought the book How to Win the Bachelor and was caught reading it. I remember this rumor. Mm-hmm. She's never touched on this. She said, I didn't for the record, but another girl did find the book in the closet, which we thought it was funny that someone would bring that and then handed it over to a producer. But I remember being so upset that someone started that rumor about me because I knew it was not true. Maybe it was a setup, maybe it wasn't, but it was the one time the cameras weren't rolling. I wish they were, so people wouldn't have been able to spread those lies. And if you were the girl on my season who brought the book, can you please come forward? Thanks.
Okay, so she's at least confirming that the book was there. Because we never really knew. It was like this rumor, like, oh, Gabby was reading it, blah, blah, blah. So now, like, we know, okay, so the book was there. I don't know who put it there.
The book was there. Maybe someone from Clayton's season left it because we know someone from Clayton's season was coached.
True.
It's kind of like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Everyone just, like, leaves the book in the closet for someone else to find.
Was it definitely in the mansion? The book was in the mansion, yeah?
It seems like it. Okay. I mean, she didn't specify... But the fact that she's like, oh, the cameras weren't rolling, I wish they were. Like, do you really think ABC is going to air
Well, that's
that
why
scene?
I don't think it was a setup or, like, anything producer planted. That's why I think it's actually someone brought it, because I don't think production likes to acknowledge well, us for sure, but also podcasts like Game of Roses, I don't think they would be wanting to like promote them in any way.
Yeah. But a setup towards her, who like came up with the fact that Gabby was the one to bring it? Because I remember hearing that rumor and then her coming in second. I was like, oh, holy shit. She was like, she obviously was being strategic and lying. So someone came up with that. So that part was definitely a setup. Like saying that she brought
saying it. Saying it was her. Or could people have not just been confused? Like, because the book was clearly there. And then someone heard from someone who saw someone. And, like, maybe they saw Gabby holding the book. So they're like, oh, Gabby was the one who brought it. When, like, who knows?
Right. It's like a game of telephone. Like, remember the game? By the time it gets to the fifth. By the time it gets to, like, the fifth person, you have a totally different story. So I bet people in the house were just playing telephone.
Mm.
And Gabby handed the book to the producer. Someone saw Gabby handing the book to the producer. That person went and told someone, oh, Gabby had the book.
She did
have it in her hand.
Correct. That's what happened. But it's just like... why was the book there?
Because someone from Clayton's season left it in the closet. There.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. All right, moving on. This is so random. But Chris Harrison had a little bit of a cryptic tweet. So there was an original tweet on March 7th, 2022. So 2 years ago. And it's a picture of Chris Harrison. And the tweet says, hate him all you want, but Chris Harrison knew how to control the show, especially the tell-alls. Chris Harrison then responds to this tweet in February 2024, 2 years later, and says, but wait, why hate him all you want? Miss you all too. I'll see you soon.
What does it mean?
But, like, is this not maybe just another classic case of, like, Chris Harrison trying to, like, manifest his own destiny to, like, come back to the show? Because I feel like he always, like, when he was doing his podcast, even though I guess he still is doing his podcast, we just haven't listened to it in a while, he would be like, oh, yeah, and, like, I feel like he's, like, trying to create his own comeback. You know what I mean? By just cryptically putting it out there, like, oh, see you soon. I have something in the works. When he doesn't have something in the works, but he's trying to, like, get enough people maybe excited about there being something in the works so that he can then go and be like, ABC, take me back. Please, babe, please. I promise. I'll be good.
I would believe that he has something in the works, though. I think he's been talking about something in the works. That does not mean it's The Bachelor, though.
No, I don't think it is.
I think that ship has been sailed long, long time ago.
Did I say this last time? I feel like he's just going to, like, host a game show. And I really think that's the right place for him right now.
So do I. That's great. Go host.
Like Wheel of Fortune.
The Price is Right.
Oh my God, could you imagine if it was Wheel of Fortune? Because Wheel of Fortune is literally on right before The Bachelor every single time.
Oh my God. No, I mean, he can't replace Pat.
True.
Or Vanna.
I know. They've been doing it for so long. I feel like he should host Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Is that show still on?
He did. For a very long time, didn't he? Yeah, didn't he? Yeah, he did.
I believe that maybe. I guess he did at some point. I remember it when it was Regis hosting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Me too.
I know.
Yeah, Regis died in 2020.
Aw.
He was so iconic on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And yeah, Chris hosted. I feel like other people, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Steve Harvey may have hosted. There was, like, rotating hosts
for
a while.
I do vaguely remember that.
Maybe Steve Harvey didn't. I'm pulling this out of my ass, guys. Someone's gonna come to me.
I always get these people confused. Katie Couric and Meredith Vieira. Who hosted Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's one of those two women, but I always get them confused.
Okay.
Wait, do you remember the first guy who ever won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That comes up on my TikTok all the time. Because remember the guy, he's at the last question and he phones a friend.
Is that when he calls his dad?
Yeah, and he's like, Dad, I know the answer and I'm going to win $1 million. And then everyone's like, yay.
No.
That
Chills.
Was such an iconic moment in television history. Because I would watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire like every week or whenever it was on.
Me
like
too.
It was such a big thing.
Wait, do you guys want to know a fun fact?
What?
Crazy.
You were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Well, I like to tell people I'm part psychic. I don't think I'm fully psychic, but I do think I have psychic vibes.
Wait, how has it been like 2 years of doing this podcast with you and you've never said this before?
I've probably said this. Jackie, you have a really bad memory.
We know that that's true for sure. But you did not say this on the podcast.
Okay, sound off. If you guys already knew I was psychic, let me know. But I used to watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And remember the fastest finger question where, like, in order to get in the hot seat,
you have to answer
a question. They would go around the room and they'd show, oh, Sheila from Missouri. And she'd wave and they'd show every single person. There was like 15 people competing to get in the seat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding you. I was always able to predict who was going to win every time. But I wouldn't say it. Here's the thing. And I'm not lying, but I wouldn't say it out loud. I felt that by saying it out loud, I usually watched it alone. But if people were like, oh, prove it. Mm-hmm. I felt the pressure of having to prove it typically changed what my answer would be. So, yeah. But if I was just, I know you don't believe me.
No,
but
I believe you.
If I was just thinking it and I would be like, oh, it's in my head, like it's Sheila from Missouri. Mm-hmm. And then she would come up and I would just sit there alone in my room being like, no one even fucking knows I'm psychic, but I get it right every single time.
Are you only psychic for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire specifically? Or does this apply to other game shows? Does it apply to rose ceremonies? Actually, we're all psychic when it comes to rose ceremonies because the show is so formulaic. Like, we know.
I'm also very good at roulette. And there was plenty of times where I would, if I sit and I'm quiet by myself and I just pick numbers, I look at the spinning wheel, mm-hmm. I feel vibes and I pick numbers. I one time was alone at a table, like my husband was at another table, and the dealer was like, so what are you feeling? What numbers? And I was like, can you just not talk to me? Because I'm like trying to
Because you're trying to channel your psychic vibes.
Yes, yeah. Because I'm like, but if you are asking me for what I think the numbers are, then I'm thinking, okay, now what am I going to tell him versus what I actually feel. That, I mean, I think if I talk to a real psychic, they would probably tell me that's something they struggle with quite a bit.
I have so many questions. First, well, do you then, when you're playing roulette and you're feeling the vibes, do you at least put your money down on them or you don't?
Yeah.
Because then that would show. Okay, so you win a lot.
I win. I also lose.
Right.
Because I think
I'm so psychic. And sometimes I win and sometimes I lose.
Well, because I think when I lose, it's my thoughts overtaking my psychic vibes.
Your vibes. Got it. Okay. Can we put this to the test literally in Vegas? I can't wait to play roulette with you.
Ah! Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. We're going to be millionaires.
Who wants to be one?
I know. Okay, I have an update on Stephanie in Vegas.
Who's the host? Okay.
Okay.
Cedric the Entertainer took over for the show in 2013 following Vieira's departure. So the person you, Meredith Vieira, is the one who hosted.
So not Katie Couric. Got it.
The final host of the syndicated series was Chris Harrison, who took over from Cruz. Who the fuck is Cruz? Maybe that's Cedric the Entertainer. I don't know. In 2015, and then hosted until the show was canceled, with the finale airing on May 31st, 2019.
Wow, they should bring it back, and Chris Harrison should host it, because I missed that show.
And, like, you were already the host.
True.
I think that's what he's talking about. I mean, I think him choosing a tweet from 2022 to respond to now is really an odd choice.
Maybe he wanted it to be cryptic, and he searched himself on Twitter and searched for tweets and searched for something he could respond to so that he could plant the seed.
Maybe, but it's giving like stalking your ex's new girlfriend and accidentally liking a photo from her from like 2017.
Yeah. No, it definitely, you know what I mean? Is like, giving that. Yeah.
Like, why did you have to respond to this one? Why not even just respond to like a more recent tweet or just write, I'll see you soon as a new tweet? That would have gotten less bad feedback. Because I think the issue people have with this is that he's responding to a tweet that's 2 years old. It's just odd.
Yes. And also the odd part is like, wait,
why hate him all you guys want?
It's like, dude, you don't know why. After all these years, you still don't know why you were asked to leave the show. I just like don't.
Right.
I can't with the lack of accountability. Like, dude, just stop pretending like you don't know why. You know why. We all know why.
Right. We can all move forward.
Move on. We can move forward. But he keeps acting like he doesn't know. And that's what's so fucking annoying.
He's like, what do you mean? Why don't I host the show anymore? Right?
It's like, dude, what? Were you there? I was there. Like, we all saw it happen.
I was there. I remember it all too well, actually.
So true. Wind in my hair. I was there.
Okay, moving on from that. So everyone is thinking that Peter is hooking up with Ek and Sue from Traitors?
Oh, my Lord, sweet baby Jesus. Not Ek and Sue. Lord, not Ek and Sue.
What the fuck? I mean, she is super, super pretty, very much his type, giving Kelly Flanagan vibes. So
for
I can see it happening. And Peter, you know, as you like to say, likes to fuck.
He does like to fuck. We know this.
I can see him, like, definitely making a pass. So Sweet Nums took a picture with her, and that, like, circulated on the internet. So people were like, why is Ek and Sue hanging out with Sweet Nums?
Oh, okay. That's very damning evidence right there. Unless it was literally at a Traitors event, but I'm assuming it wasn't.
I think it was.
All right, well, then I don't know.
So they had their Traitors, like, I mean, the finale of Traitors hasn't aired yet, but they did their Traitors, like, finale reunion, whatever, mm-hmm. and they're all together. And there is a video of Peter, Ek and Sue, and Johnny Bananas, which I'm going to play for you guys. because Johnny drops a little bit of cryptic tea here as well. And if you guys don't know, Johnny Bananas is from Traitors. He actually was eliminated first, and he's from, like, all the challenges and stuff. So the three of them are in a video, and Peter's like, oh, is this a video? Hey. And Johnny says, this is probably only half as entertaining as the video you two have already filmed. And then Ekansu and Peter both make a face to the camera. So it seems like among the cast, there may be acknowledgement that there's at least, like, attraction.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, this definitely does not surprise me because, like you said, she is giving Kelly vibes. Like, I literally just Googled Ekansu and I'm literally looking at every single image of her. It is kind of like she does really resemble Kelly in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
would make sense. I thought it was funny. A lot of people were making jokes. And I think, did you send me this TikTok or have you seen this TikTok of Peter and Parvati, like, having sexual tension? Like, there's a TikTok of, like, Peter, you think I'm a dirty little traitor.
I think I sent you that.
Yeah. Interesting to know that it's not Parvati that he's hooking up with, but I actually think she's married, so that wouldn't make sense. Oh. But
I was the one that called the sexual tension between Peter and Parvati from the start when we had two black girls, one rose on, I think that's when I said it. I was like, why is there so much sexual tension? Because they were after each other on the show, but it was in a very, like, sexual way. Like, they, like, wanted each other.
Yeah. And Peter actually commented on that TikTok just being like, ha 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 ha, this is hilarious.
Wait, can we talk about the latest episode of Traitors? If you guys aren't caught up, scroll ahead because we're going to talk about what happened and it's a doozy.
Yeah.
But on the latest episode of Traitors, so we were left off with a cliffhanger of if they're going to send home Phaedra or Peter, which was like Sylvie's choice for me. I'm like, I'm going to be upset regardless. So I was very bummed. I didn't know which one.
I wanted it to be Phaedra then because I wanted Peter to stay. I found him to be very entertaining, especially because he's been, like, at the forefront of, like, getting the traitors. I feel like without him, like, pushing things along, everyone else left now is a little bit more passive. So I was really bummed that it was Peter.
Yeah. So Peter's the one that goes home. And I just feel like I said this last week, I believe, but I think when they come back for Traitors 3, which they definitely will because this has been so successful, Peter should be someone that gets to come back like Kate did because he was such a good person on this show and he was sent home too soon.
I agree.
Like, you're sent home before Trishelle. Like, you're better than a lot of these people on the show. Like, you're more strategic and you're playing the game better.
Yeah, no, he should have made it to the end and been a contender for winning. Although I will say that I do think that is part of the game, is being aggressive and outwardly outspoken the way Peter was can sometimes not always be the best strategy because then everyone's after you. Like, had he been just as strategic but kept it quiet, then he might have stayed longer. Because have you seen this thing? Jeray is now saying that she actually knew Phaedra was a traitor since day one, but kept her mouth shut because she knew that it was just better off being in alliance with her and then Phaedra wouldn't kill her.
But how does she know that she's a traitor for sure?
I don't know. A vibe? How does anyone know anyone's a traitor? Like, Peter kind of sussed out the traitors. I don't know. And she's known Phaedra, though, for like 30 years. I think maybe she just could tell that she was, like, acting weird or not, like, doing things that didn't make sense. I don't know. She says that now. I guess maybe it's easy to say that now and, like, who knows what she was thinking in the moment.
It's kind of like me saying that I pick all the winners from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but I can't prove it.
But, yeah, so, you know, I don't know.
That's fine.
But I do think that's a strategy, too, is, like, if you kind of know who the traitors are, like, shut the fuck up, and then they won't kill you. Peter was too loud. So I do like that there's so many levels to this game.
I would love to go on this game. They should make reality TV for, like, lower level people like us.
Well, wasn't it in the first season where it was, like, people who are on reality shows, but then also random people? And I think there's a UK version or an Australia version that this is based off of. And that's sometimes with normal people, too. And I'm like, ugh, I want to play Traitors. I think they did an event in LA, like a pop-up, and, like, people played it.
That's not fun.
I know, but I want to play it. Oh my God, should I do, like, a murder mystery party, but we play Traitors?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be so fun? I'm going to do that, a barbecue this summer. A Traitors-themed barbecue? Would you want to come?
Yeah, but where are you going to have a barbecue?
At my apartment.
Oh, like, do you have, like, an outdoor area?
Yeah, you were on my roof.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I didn't know what you have access to in the summer or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you want to come to my barbecue?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
The problem is, like, I don't know. There's definitely a way to play it, right?
I don't know. I mean, I pointed out.
But then how would the actual traitors, like, sneak away and decide who to kill if you're all on a barbecue?
I've pointed out so many loopholes in this show. Like, so many things that just don't make sense, but it's still so entertaining, so I don't care. But like a lot of shit, you definitely need producers. You can't be doing it, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll think on this. I feel like someone maybe has figured out an abridged version of how to play. I also think it's funny now that like Kate is the only traitor left and she didn't even like start out as a traitor.
Phaedra's there.
No, she went home at the end of the episode.
Oh my God. Wait, guys, I haven't finished the fucking episode. I just realized that.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? Okay, sorry for the spoiler.
Oh, it's
but
okay.
That's on you.
No, it's
you
on me.
You said you wanted to talk about this episode and you didn't even finish the episode.
No,
yeah,
I
know. Phaedra goes home at the end.
Wait, I forgot. I was like, I want to find out if Peter or Phaedra goes home. So I like sat there watching and then I started doing my makeup and then I turned it off. Mm. Now that we're talking it through, I remember I never actually finished it. I should have finished it last night. Okay, I mean, that's not that crazy. Wait, oh, Phaedra. Okay, yes.
I know. So and now they're really going into the end and Kate is really trying to push Sandra on people as like a potential traitor to deflect from herself. I don't know if she's going to succeed, though. But it's just crazy. Like, Kate didn't even, like, want to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she was forced to be a fucking traitor.
But do we think that they're going to add another traitor? Because if so, that's messed up.
No, I think now we're towards the end. Is next week the finale, maybe?
There's so many people left. There's, like, so... There's,
yeah,
like,
but
a
multiple
lot.
People can make it to the end.
I know,
but... It gets to a point where, like, you think you're supposed to be like, oh, is there... I don't know. And then... Because remember in the last one, there was, like, four of them left? It was, like, Ari, Suri... And those two other people that I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember them.
That was a wild ending.
Why doesn't Kate try to throw, like, CT under the bus? I feel like you can say, like, oh, look, like, he's been just, like, flying under the radar. No one's ever thrown his name out. Why are we all so sure that it's not him? He's,
true.
Like, kind of
an
easy one.
I think that would be a good one.
Okay, wait, moving on. So did you hear that Jason Tardik's potentially dating Kat Stickler from TikTok?
Yes. I thought they meant Kat Sadler, that random E! News anchor. But
no,
I think actually...
it's Stickler. I'm 100%.
Okay, wait. Kit Stickler?
Kat Stickler.
Wow, why can I not talk?
Kit Stickler? Kat. It sounds like Stickly from Nickelodeon, which you definitely don't know who that is. But do you guys remember the little stick? It was like a popsicle stick and he was Stickly. The Nickelodeon guy?
This was a show on Nickelodeon?
Let me just make sure. Stickly?
Oh, I know this girl now that I've Googled her. Yeah, I see her TikToks all the time.
Yeah, Stickly. It was a stick with eyes. And he was like a mascot on Nickelodeon.
Love that for
Elder
him.
Millennials will know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people are saying that Jason and Kat have been spotted like cozying up at random places. And it's been more than one encounter that they've been spotted places. Thoughts? I mean, I
think it's
my
good
gut
for him.
Is like good for him. Totally. I don't get how people move on so quickly from things. I've just never been able to. And it's wonderful that both of them have been able to move on mm-hmm. with other people this quickly. It's just, I guess maybe when you're on a certain level, there's so many people at your disposal that it's a lot easier to move on because there's so many other options. Mm-hmm. But I know in the past, if I was like broken up with or ended a long-term relationship,
sure.
It wasn't like I had like 50 guys throwing their hat in the ring.
Yeah. I think two things. I think one, when you're in the public eye and you have a public relationship like this, I think you wait till it's like really, really, really done before publicly announcing it. So I think for all we know, Jason and Caitlin were done like way before we ever found out about it. So I think that adds some more time to the moving on. But I think also too, you can like date people and be like trying to move on without even really fully being moved on. You know what I mean? Like he could probably still be sad about the relationship and being mourning the relationship, but the only way to really move forward is to start dating other people and like kind of see. So I feel like two things can be true. He can be trying to like get to know this other girl and still be sad about it and still like grieving the relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm. I also think people that have maybe similar past situations can bond together.
For
like
sure.
He's obviously coming out of a broken engagement and Kat is divorced. She has a daughter. She's raising the daughter on her own and she shares custody of her daughter with the guy. And that may be something that like they bond over, the fact that they've had like relationships that didn't last.
Absolutely.
You know?
So who knows? Wait, speaking of breaking up long-term relationships, did you see there was a blind eye? There was a blind item on Des Moines, basically kind of confirming that Greg and Victoria have now broken up, which I found interesting because that was actually something I was kind of thinking about for a while and had kind of been clocking that neither of them had posted them in quite a while. And they typically posted each other a lot and they were always making TikToks together and we haven't really seen them together. So I was kind of thinking maybe they have broken up. Which does not surprise me. I did feel like that relationship was a ticking time bomb.
Well, it wasn't even the first Demois that I've seen. I've definitely seen, like, I saw the more recent one, but I've seen ones from, like, a couple of weeks ago, too. There was some stuff on Reddit that I saw that was definitely pointing in that direction. Yeah. So I'm not surprised. And also, like, not acknowledging it, that's a choice. I mean, you don't have to make an announcement if you don't want to. It could just be, like, I'm definitely seeing, after looking at the Demois, I went to Greg's page, and it's not like his page is swarmed with "Where's Victoria" comments anymore. It's very much just like, this is Greg now. He's back to hanging out with Andrew every day. And like, remember Andrew's like, oh, I miss my buddy. Like when Greg was in a relationship, he didn't like get to see him that often. And now they're like back to doing their like silly little skits all the time.
Right.
So, I mean, if they're better off apart, then they're better off apart. I think not having the announcement is what people are focused on more versus them even breaking up.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if they're broken up. It's like, just say it.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years.
Yeah. What if they just never do?
I don't know. Can you get away with that in this day and age? Like, if they just think they can, like, slow fade their way out of, like, publicly announcing
I feel like they've
breakup?
Already done it. Well, because
at some
like,
point, I do think the Redditors are going to be like, where's Victoria? Where's Victoria? Where's Victoria? In the same way, remember that was the whole thing with Nate and Michelle? And then Nate was almost making fun of it. He's like, where's Michelle? Where's Michelle? Where's Michelle? You guys are always asking me where Michelle is. She's right here. But then they literally announced their breakup like a week later.
See, I feel like it's already faded. I feel like people are already kind of assuming it and everyone's moved on. Also pointing out that like last summer they went through something like this where they weren't spotted together or they weren't posting together for a while. And then like they clearly worked things out or whatever it was, they were, you know, went back to posting together a lot. So maybe they don't want to announce things until they know it's for sure. Just like you just said about Caitlin and Jason. Maybe by the time we learned about Caitlin and Jason, it was so done. So maybe they just want to wait till like they're for sure.
I know, but it's like they're not for sure. Last he posted her was October 2023. And then I'm looking at hers now. She last posted him December 2023. It's March now.
The Demois said that he was like spotted with some girl at a bar too. So.
Oh, all right. Well, and we know, I feel like Victoria would not be okay with that if they were still together.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think people just need to wait and see. I mean, it's either they announce a breakup or one of them announces eventually that they're in a new relationship.
Else.
Yeah. And then that's when we'll know for sure.
I guess. I just don't know how they get away with that. Like, people are going to start commenting.
Have people, I feel like they're not the only ones that have done that. Haven't there been other people that, like, just never, well, Brandon and Piper, they never announced, like, we're broken up.
No, I think they did. Didn't they?
They just slowly stopped posting with
each other. Well, then how do we know they're even broken up?
Because they are. Remember
how do you know?
Because I know. Because remember Piper said she went on TikTok? This was like way after the fact. And then said that she wanted to talk about, like I Google their names and I see Bachelor Nation's Piper and Brendan seemingly split. Everything's like assumed, but they are not together.
But we don't know. But well, all I'm saying is we don't know they're not together. They could just be like, you know what? Let's just focus on posting like our own individual things on Instagram.
We know they're not together. Piper literally went on TikTok and she said, we remember. You don't remember anything.
We know I have a bad memory. Like, leave me alone.
Piper James. This was a really long time ago and we covered it. And I don't know which one it is. How am I ever going to find it? But it was like, let me try.
Okay, I believe you.
How am I going to ever find this? I don't even know what it looks like, so I don't know what I'm looking for. But I feel like the caption, dating life update. I found a TikTok that says it's an update on her dating life. This is November 2023. So she's never, they've never done a joint statement. They've never did anything.
Update on my dating life. I have deleted the apps. You guys are absolutely right. As fun as the apps were, I just didn't want to do it anymore. It was really stressing me out. The first date culture of not meeting somebody in person and then having to like figure out what they look like. Going on a first date is already stressful enough. So I didn't want to have to deal with like that own internalized anxiety. However, I am taking a different step and I've joined two clubs for networking and dating. And so.
Okay, so
that's she's talking about dating. Yeah. Okay.
And there you have it. Also, she just went on Courtney Robertson's podcast. I didn't catch that one yet. I am subscribed, but I didn't get to listen to it yet. But I'm assuming she talks about her dating life there and Brendan. So.
All right.
Yeah. It is crazy that, like, we live in a world now, though, that if you don't share a photo with your significant other, that means that you're broken up. It's so crazy. It is crazy.
Well, that's why I do feel like it's sometimes crazy to jump to these conclusions. Like, oh, they haven't posted together. It's like, so what? Maybe, like especially because these people are, like, professional influencers whose business is their Instagram. They could just be focusing on, like, posting their ads or, like, whatever content they think their followers want to see.
I think where they mess up is starting off so heavy. Because I think when you start dating someone, you get really excited. You want to do all these like TikToks and photos and everything. And then it's when you start slowing down that people are like, well, wait, what happened? True. That's the problem. If you start from the beginning, like just casually once in a while posting things, then I think people expect less from you.
Right. That's a good point.
But like Clayton and Susie posted like a TikTok every single day. Justin and Susie. If they ever get to a point where like all of a sudden all their like funny little skits end, people are going to definitely suspect something. That has not happened. I'm just saying like if that were to happen, I think it's going from one behavior to a drastically different one is where people start.
True.
But like I don't post my husband. I mean, right. I don't have a
problem. But you would never post anything. Yeah, because you post, well, nothing personal, I mean, like on your She's All Batch Instagram.
My personal Instagram is She's All Batch. Like, I don't have an Instagram. I have Facebook. And there are tons of pictures of my husband, but I don't like regularly like share photos with him. I don't care to. Yeah. I barely share. Yeah. So I just think it's like, but no one's suspecting in my life that there's any trouble. So I think I'm also not a celebrity. So yeah, that's that on that. I guess watch this space, as Jackie says. Okay, so Lumi Whole Body Deodorant controls odor for up to 72 hours. That's what they say on their website. And I can attest that is a 100% true statement. I use Lumi as my deodorant, my day-to-day deodorant, and I never have body odor. And the cool thing about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is that you can literally put it anywhere. I'm talking like not just your armpits. You can put it below the belt. You can put it on your feet or your thighs or wherever you experience odor. This is 100% safe to put anywhere.
They also have over 300,000 five-star reviews from amazing people who love smelling great and feeling confident from head to toe. They have clean tangerine, lavender sage, toasted coconut, which is my favorite one.
It's powered by mandelic acid, baking soda free, and has skin-loving ingredients. So when you put it everywhere, you don't have to worry about it like irritating your skin or not putting it in an area that you're not supposed to put it. It's safe for any external use on your body.
Yeah, no, you can also try their starter pack, guys. I think that's like a really great way for new customers to try a bunch of different products. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice. Like you can try the mini body wash or the deodorant wipes, which I love to carry the wipes just like in my purse. If you just like midday need a little like spruce, freshen up, I think that's great for that. And there's free shipping. So for our listeners, new customers will get $5 off the Lumi starter pack when you use code She's All Batch at LumiDeodorant.com, L-U-M-E. And so that equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code She's All Batch. Smell good.
Always. All right, it's time for Bachelor Encounters. That is when you guys submit your stories of meeting Bachelor Nation in the Wild. We read about the stories on air, and it's a good time.
Such a good time. What's the song this week?
So the first one is about poor Greer. We've never gotten
We've never gotten one about her.
Someone writes, I thought you might find this interesting. Greer Blitzer is from Houston and used to babysit my kids when she was in high school. She was a great babysitter and actually fired us because my kids would not listen to her. When my daughter recognized her name as one of the contestants, I checked my text to see if it really was the same girl. Yep, same person. Her texts were very well written, by the way. I'm guessing she had help from her mom.
What?
Why? a few months back, I noticed Greer's mom posted some of her dresses for sale in our local Facebook group. And the post says, some items worn on filming of The Bachelor Season 27 for celebrity and influencer promos. Prices range from $10 to $75. We'll provide price and exact size per request. And she shared, like, the photo of Greer wearing, like, a green dress in her ABC image. That's for sale. Another one she apparently wore to, like, some cocktail party or something that's for sale. Really funny.
That is funny. Why does she assume that because Greer's texts were well-written that her mom helped her to write them? You think she can't write a text?
Poor Greer. Maybe it's, like, Maybe it was like high school, like ninth grade. So she's like 14, 15.
Okay, the 14-year-olds can write text. That's insane.
Maybe it was like salutations, like very, very proper. And she was just curious.
Sure.
Yeah, no, yeah, it doesn't make sense to
me either. It makes no sense.
My Apple Watch just told me to stand. Fuck off, Apple Watch.
Oh my God. Well, like, do you want to stand? Yeah. I'm going to stand in.
Hold on. Okay, I stood.
Good job. I think you're supposed to stand for a minute, though. That's how it counts.
Well, Apple
but
Watch
But we're not going to do that. You can do that after we
They don't
stop
tell
recording.
Me how to live my life.
Apparently they do.
She was a great
babysitter. Literally told you to stand and you immediately stood.
So she was a great babysitter. But can we talk about how she fired them? The babysitter can fire the family?
That to me feels like quitting, not really firing. Like when you quit your job, yeah. You don't like fire the company. Like you just quit or you get fired yourself. I don't think it goes the other way around. Also, if her kids don't listen to her, I would argue she's not a good babysitter.
True.
But it's fine though. Being a babysitter can sometimes be really hard. So,
oh my God, my Apple Watch just said that I'm off to a great start because I just stood.
You only stood for like 4 seconds, not even. Your Apple Watch is lying to you. I'm sorry.
It's hyping me up. Yeah, no, this is really funny. She didn't fire your family. Your family didn't, like, she didn't.
She quit your family.
Yeah. Also, to say you quit because the kids would not listen to her, like, it's a weird thing to say to the family.
Or maybe she was just like, your kids are too bad. Like, I can't deal with this.
Greer, I think you should have said, I have to go back and make a sales call. I have my sales job. I don't want to do this babysitting job anymore. Because to say that you don't want to work there because the kids won't listen, I agree. I think it makes you sound like a bad babysitter.
Right. It's like, well, what am I hiring you for then? To get my kids to listen to you? Like, but I don't know. It's probably a lot more complicated and hard than that. I feel like
sure.
Kids wouldn't listen to me if I was babysitting them. But no. I would always kind of like try to cut deals with them. That's what you have to do.
Oh, bribery.
I would be like, okay, if you listen and like do your homework, like then I will like, I don't know, give you a brownie that your mom said you weren't allowed to have or like a cupcake or something.
Mm.
That's how you be a good babysitter.
Take notes, everyone at home. If you want your baby to listen to you.
Well, hear I feel from like Jackie kids are Maroney. Smart. Like, you can level with them. That's what I like, just being able to, like, all right, let's real talk here. What do you want? What do I want? How do we meet in the middle? Let's negotiate. Honestly, you would think her sales job would help her in that situation. There's a lot of negotiating. You got to do sales. You got to schmooze them. I don't know. You got to figure it out.
She's like, listen here. I'll give you your sales bonus if you just go to sleep right now.
Yeah.
And they just don't. They just cry all night.
Right,
I'm happy that she's potentially getting some money back on her dresses. I have never heard of someone selling like on Facebook Marketplace or one of those things.
Yeah.
So, but she's only selling them for $10 to $75. I feel like you could sell on eBay for more than that because people that are like, want the, I don't know, notoriety of the fact that it was
for
a TV
sure. Also,
person.
I feel like those are probably way more expensive dresses than
that's
just,
what I'm saying. Like, this doesn't make sense. Hopefully she got more than that. But yeah, poor Greer. Moving on. Okay, we had that FOTS that went to Audrey's, and then she told us that her name's Angela, and she told us that she was going back because Caitlin Bristow was going to be there. Mm-hmm. She met Caitlin Bristow, and we have the update.
Yay.
She said, hi, guys. It's Angela again, reporting live from heaven. Bear with me because my hands are still shaking as I type this. It's a long one, but a good one. Last night was the Caitlin Bristow meet and greet at Audrey's. When I say my husband, Steve, tagged along, I mean I made him come in case I passed out or something dramatic, but I also promised him food, and that always works. When we showed up, it was completely packed, and the line to order food was out the door. I immediately saw Jared hustling in the back and running food out to the tables. And he wasn't taking orders this time. He's in the back flipping eggs.
Yeah.
We waited in line for a bit. And when there were two people in front of us, who comes back around to take orders? Jared. I told him I was a little more chill this time. And he immediately goes, oh my God, you're the one who said you were going to shit your pants. He remembered you. Before I could say anything sweet, Steve said, oh shit, you remembered. Ah, Steve. I don't remember the next part of the convo and then forgot what we were ordering. So I guess I was not very chill at all. Anyway, we found ourselves awkwardly standing in between the counter area and the back door waiting for KB to come in. Who knew this was literally the best place to stand? She came in secretly through the door and then stood about 4 feet in front of us to do the Q&A. Her PA then instructed everyone to form the line basically right behind where we were. Being one of the first people out of 150 to meet her. Again, this part is a little fuzzy. I was so nervous. I felt like I was doing my own limo entrance. I wrote her a letter because I knew that whatever came out of my mouth wasn't going to make any sense. And I made some cute personalized Oreos and cake pops. She's exactly how I imagined she would be, iconic and honestly so genuine. We hugged and she told me I had sweet energy. And then right on cue, the crowd starts clapping and yelling. And obviously I knew it wasn't for me, but not going to lie, it was perfect timing. So when I tell you I turned around to see Laura and I and Ashley carrying Dawson in, I felt like I was in a whole ass dream. And Sydney was there. Oh my God, the Sydney. I didn't get a chance to meet her, but she's actually stunning in person and seemed to be really engaged in conversation with fans. Bad edits in general were addressed and confirmed. I've been watching this show since I was 12 years old. I'll be 30 in June. I couldn't have asked for a better experience. I honestly do not care if she doesn't read the letters or if she lights the treats on fire, but giving them to her was unreal. Thank you guys for staying invested in my story. I feel like we really did come full circle.
Aww.
It's so freaking cute, Angela, and you are the best storyteller. I hope that you continue to run into Bachelor people just to get your stories. Also, there's been an update on this, though.
Okay.
So Caitlin did not light those sweet treats on fire. She actually kept them and shared it to her story.
Aw.
Caitlin wrote, "This is so amazing. I ate a lot of them last night. Delish. Thank you." And Angela's company is Big Ange Sweet Treats with a Z on Instagram. If you want to go support a fellow FOTS.
Yes.
And so Angela sent that to me and she said, "It keeps getting better. Am I alive? I really didn't think she would open them or eat them, but I thought they were cute and I had too much fun making them." And so Caitlin obviously loved them. That's fucking cool.
Aww, that's amazing.
Angela, you need to come to like our FOTS Fest once
I
we
know.
Book it.
Seriously.
I would love to hear your like synopsis of how the event went with all these extra details. And maybe Steve can come and help you not shit your pants.
Or pass out. Yeah.
Okay. One more. This person writes, "Creep. You mean Bachelor Encounter, but I got what you meant. I'm at Snowmass Ski Resort and Dean and Kaylin were sitting at the table right across from me. I didn't talk to them, but Kaylin was in full Aspen getup and he was definitely more laid back with his ski attire. Both gorgeous, probably the most flawless skin. My friend freaked out and I didn't get a picture because she was loudly saying their names. We were at a spot called Base Camp and the last time I was here, I saw Ashley Simpson and Evan Ross.
Wow.
It's clearly a hot spot.
Yeah.
And I know you love the small details. Kaylin had an April spritz and he, did she mean, isn't it called like an Aperol?
Aperol spritz.
Oh.
That's probably autocorrected Aperol to April.
It says April. That's not me not knowing it.
Yeah, I was like, so an April spritz? That's a new drink. Okay. Which it could be.
She had that and then Dean had a beer.
Got
cute.
It. Kaylin and Dean are so cool. I like want to be friends with them.
Yeah. They seem like chill.
They're just
like
cool people.
Yeah.
Who, like, travel and, like, I don't know, they're, like, hot and travel and that's
Look at us. We're hot and we travel.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are all the Bachelor Encounters we have for this week. If you have a story you want to submit, DM me at She's All Batch. We may read it next week. I have a few still in the vault. So if you've sent, it may be coming next week. If you've sent and you haven't heard it in a couple of weeks, follow up because it's hard keeping track of all this shit. Okay? Moving on. All right, well, before we get into the recap room, because we need to recap the hometown episode, but before we do, I was made aware of something that simply cannot wait till next week.
Okay.
Have you heard that Jason Tardik accidentally spoiled The Bachelor on his podcast?
I did hear because you sent this to me earlier today.
Oh, okay. So yes, you have heard. I am shook for so many reasons. First and foremost, and I'm going to play the clip with a, we're going to bleep it out. So if you're spoiler free, it's okay. But first and foremost, we were denied by ABC for screeners. We were denied by ABC for access to like the contestants that are currently on the show or like still in contract. And Jason is on like the chosen list. And look what fucking happens. Like he's human too. He made an error. I can guarantee we wouldn't have accidentally spoiled the fucking season so nonchalantly if ABC was so gracious to let us interview someone from the show.
I mean, I feel like at the end of the day, that's not even what they're worried about. They don't like us because we expose production
stuff.
And that's, I think, like the bigger thing. But Yes, we would have been way more responsible.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that, like, he doesn't know better. Like, I'll play the clip, but he's talking, he says it, and he continues talking and doesn't even realize that he said anything that was an issue. This has since been removed from his podcast, but so many people have taken screenshots.
Yeah, the fact that it even made it to, like, being published is so wild to me. Like, he could say it while he's recording and then be like, oops, like, let's take that out.
But well, the fact that he didn't. Mid-sentence, he didn't say oops.
Like, yeah.
So just for context, at the end of his episode, he lists off some people that are coming on his podcast. He lists Joey with someone. We're going to bleep out who he says it is, but one that tells us that Joey is with someone. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
So spoiler alert right there. If you were really trying to remain unspoiled, I'm sorry. That is one little tidbit we are revealing. But, like, that's not even really a spoiler. So
that's not a spoiler. And that wasn't us. That was Jason.
Yeah.
And then, so, because if you listened to Jason's, you would have gotten spoiled anyway.
True.
And then, two, yeah, he blatantly says her name. So this is what Jason says at the end of his podcast.
Maybe they're just appearing on the podcast as friends.
Maybe.
You're going to get those answers. We have Kat Stickler, the famous TikToker, coming on. We have Colton Underwood that we're interviewing here soon. So we will have Joey and from The Bachelor on. We have Jessica from Love is Blind coming on. So let me tell you, the queue of people is stacked.
And Kat, he's bringing Kat on, the girl he's dating?
Yeah, I know. That kind of ties back to what we were saying earlier in the episode. That seems to be how they met, but, like, since then they've been spotted getting cozy. So curious to see their, like, dynamic when they're on the pod.
That's how Caitlin and Jason met on a podcast. He went to do her podcast and then they got cozy. What are the chances of that?
What are the chances? What are the chances that he openly spoils the show?
I mean, pretty higher than you meeting two girls that you date on podcasts. I think the chances of that are way slimmer.
I hope that, like, he gets spoken to, though. I just feel like these people get so many privileges in this franchise. And I don't know. He just doesn't get held accountable. Like, he full blown. How do you not in that sentence say, like, oh, wait. I'm saying that, like,
I hope he gets a cease and desist.
Don't you get that if you're, like, maliciously doing it, though? Like, I don't think you get it for, like, an accident.
No, I think he'll probably just get, like, a slap on the wrist, a talking to from a text, an angry text from a producer being like, hey, can you not take this
right,
out?
Right, or that's probably why they're like, dude, like, edit that out now. But damage is done. Just like when Ashley and Ben revealed that secret about Zach in The Almost Famous, and it's edited out. But if you go to last week's episode of She's All Batch, it's in there forever. So,
I know. Like, guys, edit your podcasts.
Jeez, I mean, we do.
I know, but, like,
no,
they don't,
obviously,
clearly.
You know. No, I know. It's just like, I don't know. Like, does Jason edit his own podcast?
Of course,
probably not. So then, like, fire your editor too.
Yeah.
Or no, honestly, the
it's
editor
not the
probably
editor's
didn't
fault.
Know. That's like a spoiler. Like, if the editor is not a Bachelor fan,
right?
Which. Our editor is not a Bachelor fan either.
But now he is.
He is. I love that we keep our editor up to speed on all things Bachelor. I remember when he was editing our Golden Bachelor episodes, and it was the episode that Ellen went home, and he, like, sent us the episode, and he's like, I can't believe Ellen went home. He has no clue who these people are, but we just keep him up to speed.
I
love it.
It is funny that he's like, even he was messaging us and being like, Jackie, I hope the Airbnb thing gets worked out. Like, just the fact that he, like, really is, he's our number one fan, loyal listener.
Love you, Brian.
I know.
He listens to our voices for hours on end. He
I
has
know.
To, like, it'd be weird if he was listening, but, like, not listening.
For
you know?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
He has to actually, like, pay attention. But clearly, Jason's editor wasn't doing that. So he should take notes from our editor.
Yeah.
Okay. We should get in the room. We have to unpack the hometowns and get in there. Do you want to go in there now?
Sure. I can go in there now. Let me just scan my room key and open up the door.
Okay.
Weep, weep. That's a beeping sound, like when you scan the hotel room key.
Okay.
It's a recap hotel room today. Ooh.
Can you actually do the thing where you leave the door open with that the lock
with the
thing?
Little bolt thing?
Yeah, because, like, I actually have to go down the hallway to get ice.
Ice. What a classic hotel reference. Like, you only ever get ice at a hotel.
That's actually, all you ever get down the hall. And sometimes when you're like really hungover in the middle of the night and there's no water, you get the ice and then you just like pray that it melts. Has anyone ever done that? Like you put like a cup of ice next to you?
But I guess that's smart. I'm like, oh, water.
Please just melt. I'm so thirsty and I'm not drinking that tap water.
Okay, but you realize the ice is like also that tap water.
Not to me.
Okay. It's different. So different. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we're in the room. Let's get into hometowns. Yeah. I mean, historically, my least favorite episode of every single season. We talked about this in previous episodes, but like, I don't know the family, so I don't care necessarily. I'm not invested in these people. Right. And seeing the same thing happen over and over is what really gets me.
Yeah, I agree. It's never really my favorite. I think some of these had like slight unique moments. Like, I actually really enjoyed Rachel's hometown date just because I think it was like, unique, the things they were showing about, like, all different cultures and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, that's something different. We don't really, like, do that much. That was fun. I really liked Maria's hometown date because I feel like we saw a different side of her. But otherwise, it was, like, pretty bland. I feel like it's just, like, the same carbon copy of a hometown date we've seen a million times.
So funny. So, you know how every single episode this season, they show in the beginning a preview of what's supposed to be, like, the most compelling part of the episode? Yeah. And they show just, like, Maria's dad sitting at the table. And they're like, oh, what if Maria comes in holding Joey's hand? And like, they just have, like, a pretty straightforward conversation about it. And then it, like, cuts to the episode. And I was like, really? Is that... That's the big moment from this whole 2-hour episode. Did not see, though, at the same time, Robert Mills tweeted this. You have less than 1 hour until hometowns of The Bachelor. You have to get there right at 8 for the cold open. Trust me. I have been waiting for weeks for all of Bachelor Nation to see this. It's a short film in 30 seconds. Do not be late. What the fuck is he talking about? They are sitting at a table just talking about Maria walking in with Joey. Like, there was nothing shocking about that moment, unless I'm crazy.
No, you're not crazy. But I'm wondering if maybe that alludes to this might not be the last we're seeing of Maria, and this is kind of setting up a bigger arc. Because remember in the promo, he gets a letter from someone saying we need to talk. And I know, never believe the promos, but do you think there's a chance maybe she could come back? And that's why that part is so compelling.
I feel like those are two separate things. Like, maybe now that you're saying it, like, I didn't really think that, but sure, I think that could happen and she could potentially be the person that wrote that. But I don't think that has anything to do with that scene of her dad at the dinner table saying, like, oh, I'll see it when I see it. Like, there was just, like, absolutely nothing shocking about that scene. So for him to say, you have to be there right at 8 for the cold open, just trust me, I've been waiting weeks. Why?
I know, like, but we have to learn our lesson to not listen to this man. He lies all the time and says everything is the most shocking thing. And it's not, it never is. It never is.
I literally wrote the note that this was such a boring opener before seeing his tweet, which makes it 10 times worse.
I know. I know. It's horrible.
Well, we start off with Kelsey A. Is she just Kelsey now, though, or do we keep the A forever?
I think she's just Kelsey now.
Oh, really?
Even though some people are first initials, like Lauren B. forever. But Kelsey is just Kelsey, I think.
Sean B. Yeah, there's something with the Bs, too. Bs tend to stick.
Kelsey A does not roll off the tongue.
Yeah, I see that.
I liked this. I mean, well, okay, that's a lie. As it was coming out of my mouth, I'm like, I liked this one today. No, I didn't. Compared to the other ones, I thought it was fine. It was nice to see some scenes of New Orleans. I think that's a really fun place. I will say, though, I don't see it with Joey and Kelsey. Like, I actually think she has the least chemistry out of all of them.
Didn't you say the opposite the other week?
No, I was consistent. I've always been saying I don't see it with Kelsey.
I thought you said you didn't see it with Daisy. So who do you see it with? Because you don't see it with
Daisy,
Rachel either.
Daisy, Maria. That's so it. Now Daisy, I guess, because Maria's gone. I see it a little bit more with Rachel, but yeah, I don't think he's going to pick her. Yeah, I don't know. I find the time that I see Joey and Kelsey on my screen, like, to be incredibly boring time.
I like them together. I think they're cute. Do I think they're, like, a match made in heaven together forever? No, but I think that they are cute together.
Yeah, I guess there's just, like, no angle there. Like, I don't know. I think, like, with Rachel's stuff, like I said before, there was a lot of, like, interesting conversations just about, like, her background and her culture, and, like, we learned a little something. And then Daisy, she talks about, like, you know, her struggles with her hearing. And so it's just, like, him and Kelsey, I'm like, what do they talk about? I guess with her mom passing away. But no, and that's obviously devastating and my heart goes out to her. But I don't know. There's just something, I don't know. I just find her personality, not as like dynamic as the other women.
But maybe that's what Joey needs.
But why does he need that?
I don't know. Everyone needs something. I think her opening up about her mom, which is such an important part of her past, like how the dad brought the photo album. We finally got to see photos of this woman. And like, we've like heard so much about her story. And I thought that was like something that was really important to Kelsey. But then Joey was really happy that he got to see the photos too. Kelsey's dad is like a smoke show and people want him to be the Golden Bachelor.
Oh my God.
And when the date ends, he says, I think Joey will take care of Kelsey. And I do hope she's engaged when she gets home. Yeah. However, did Joey not ask for permission for her? Because I don't recall seeing that. And he did ask for others.
Yeah, but I think he asks everyone. No?
Sure, but we didn't see it for Kelsey is what I'm saying.
No, I know. We might not have seen it.
But I think that's strategic. And I think they do this every season. Like, they show certain people getting asked and not other people. Or
to make us feel a type of way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like trying to throw us off or something.
But I think he asked everyone.
Yeah.
It just in my heart, that's what I feel, is that he asked everyone.
Which I mean, I feel this every single season. I think asking everyone is so fucking lame. Truly. I think if like anyone ever came to me and said, like, can I have your permission or whatever, the way it's phrased every time, like, if we get to the point that your daughter is the one for me and if I decide that this is what I want, can I have your blessing? Fuck all the way off. When you decide and when you actually are like really asking my daughter, then come to me. Don't say if these other three go home. Fuck that.
No, I agree. I think asking everyone means it's like, okay, you might as well ask no one because it means nothing.
Totally.
And it doesn't matter until there's only one person left. This hypothetical like, I'm going to ask all four dads just in case I marry one of these women. It's so silly.
I remember Nick Viall doing it on his season, and I'm pretty sure he asked everyone too. And I'm pretty sure they showed it everyone. And like he said like the same like formula every single time. And he's like, so if your daughter and I, we are consensual in love and want to take the next step in our relationship, would I have your blessing? Like, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah.
Just make a phone call once you know it's Vanessa because you knew.
I know. But that's why I think Joey asked everyone, because like Nick knew he was picking Vanessa so early on and he still asked everyone. So I think they just tell everyone to ask everyone.
Yeah. I just think it's lame.
I agree.
Rachel's date, did they not have a solo activity before meeting the family? Because everyone else had a little like one-on-one time before where they do something. And Rachel, they meet and immediately go to the family's house.
Yeah, I guess not. But I guess maybe like the family, like
the party,
backyard
was like,
party, like was the day activity.
Yeah.
Because
that's just something
they were hanging out and
that
doing
was different.
Yeah. I really liked this date, though. Like, I don't know. I thought it was cool to see, like, all the Hawaiian culture and the Filipino culture and, like, all the, like, the dance thing that they were showing. I don't know. I just thought it was, like, something interesting that we don't always see on this show. And I enjoyed it.
No, I did, too. I really like her family. I like that Joey was, like, fitting in with the culture and also doing a good job at being, like, respectful to their traditions.
Yeah.
And he did it well. And it was, like, very well received. So, and he was, like, proud that he was able to do that for Rachel. So that was really cute. But the mom and dad are super skeptical. They are really afraid of Rachel getting hurt. No surprise. And then when Joey asks Rachel's dad for his blessing, he says, if that time comes, she has my number. Which honestly, I
think that's a respectable answer.
Props to you. Like, call me when it's a real question. Don't call me when it's like a multiple choice.
No, I agree.
At the end of the date, Rachel says, I know I said I was falling for you, but I'm definitely falling in love with you. And I just can't wrap my head around how like silly that sounds. Like to everyone else in the real world, I'm falling for you and I'm falling in love with you is the same thing. But in this world, it's like so drastically different. That sentence just sounds so silly.
So stupid. Because it's like, you're falling where, Rachel?
Yeah.
If you're falling, I think it's implied that it's to the love.
I think she would have been better off like not acknowledging that she was previously just falling.
Only falling.
Into outer space. I think she should have just said, I wanted to let you know, like, my feelings are stronger and I'm falling in love with you. That wouldn't sound weird. It's the, I was falling, now I'm falling in love. What the fuck is the difference? It's the same.
Because before, like you said, she was falling into space, falling into the abyss, falling off a building. Who's to say? She's just falling everywhere.
Seriously, get back up, Rachel. Moving over to Daisy, aka the Hallmark Christmas movie.
I thought it was cute. I think they're so sweet together. I think Daisy brings out, like, a really sweet like almost childlike side of Joey. And I think like they're mm-hmm. really sweet and playful together. And I just think he like adores her. Like I really see it between the two of them. Like I think they're just so cutie.
They are so cutie. At the end, she says she's falling in love. So she's never said anything. She's never been falling into outer space. Okay, or tripping.
She was watching
anything.
Her step. She was not falling.
Yes, her balance is top notch. But at the end of this date, she says, "I'm falling in love with you, and I've been falling in love with you, and I mean that with my whole heart." To which Joey says, "I feel the same way." Is that not
and
his way
of
saying?
And has he said that to anyone else about him falling in love? Don't quote us, but I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I'm certain someone will know and let me know.
Yeah. Guys, sound off. Let us know if you know and we don't.
Yeah, we're not saying whether we know if he did or not, but I don't think he said, "I feel the same way" mm-hmm. after someone said, "I'm falling in love with you." Right. I mean, he didn't say that to Rachel, and she said it in the same episode.
Yeah. Has he said it to Kelsey?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know off the top of my head. The only thing that did kind of surprise me, so Daisy's friends show up unexpectedly and she like gets to introduce Joey and it's all good. But she says, she's talking about how like how much Joey has done for her and her confidence and how like the way he's treated her has like really changed her. And she says, even if it's not her and Joey in the end, although she hopes it is, the fact that Joey's treated her this way will stick with her. And, like, she's a rational woman and she's smart and I get it. But I feel like on this show, you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say, like, even if it's not us. Like, it's supposed to be you. That's how you're supposed to think, at least.
Right. You shouldn't even contemplate the possibility that it couldn't be you two at the end.
Right.
But I would argue maybe that's giving, like, a Bachelorette edit type thing. That, like, they're setting her up for, like, looking towards the future and, like, not being too hung up on Joey and being able to, like, move forward. So if it's not her who ends up with Joey, I mean, I totally could see her like ending up with The Bachelor. I think it's between, it's hers or Maria's.
Yes, I think it should be both. Well, I think it should be Maria, but if it's going to be Daisy, I think it should be both. I think they should do a Katie, Michelle, and it be back to backs. If that's my only chance of getting Maria, I'll take it that way. But in terms of Bachelorette edit, I actually feel like the whole Maria not telling him she's in love, then telling him too late, then it's a regret. Do you wish that you would have done things differently, Maria? What if you told him sooner?
Yeah.
It's going to be at the Women's Hall very much set up to be like a shoulda, coulda, woulda. What will I do next time? Once I know, I'm going to tell the person how I feel. And I feel like that's such a Bachelorette edit too.
Yeah. Oh, I would love a Maria season. Like, I really just feel like she was the saving grace of this episode. Like, I just find her personality so magnetic and, like, attractive that, like, when she comes on the screen and it's finally Maria's hometown date, I'm like, oh, yay, finally. I can, like, start paying attention now. Because, like, I just enjoy watching her. And it's just, like, an indescribable it factor that, like,
I know.
Some people got it and some people don't, and she has it.
It's so true. Wait, before we move over to Maria, though, did you notice the Daisy cottage cheese commercials? Like,
yes!
What is up with that? Did they do it on purpose?
I don't know if it was on purpose, but I did think it was, like, very ironic and funny.
But it wasn't after Kelsey's date or Rachel's date. It was always after, like, Daisy moments that...
I guess, but I'm like, wasn't there only, like, one commercial for Daisy?
I thought it was more than one. Maybe it was just one.
I don't know. I'm also watching on the ABC app, so the commercials could be different.
Oh, to be honest, I fast forward, but I did catch at least one.
Yeah.
So I think that's on purpose. Question, does anyone know, you approve all the commercials, right? You sell the commercial spots, but do you sell an order? Like, is there an order to the commercials? Because the ironic thing was like the Daisy scene ended and then it went right into a Daisy cottage cheese commercial. Whereas like, if that Daisy commercial was, like, in the middle of all the commercials, it probably wouldn't be as funny. But, like, when you sell commercials and ad spaces, like, do you sell the exact spot? Because I would think that the first spot is more valuable than the middle.
Yeah, I think it depends. I don't know exactly how it works on cable, but, like, on streaming, normally, like, it's, like, ad pods, and there's a certain amount of commercials that get filled into whatever space they have. So they don't pick a specific spot. They just pick an amount of like impressions and then like they churn out the Daisy ad. But I think on cable, it could be very different. I don't know.
Interesting.
I know.
Okay. All right. Well, now we can move over to Maria date.
Someone wrote this in our Facebook group and I thought this was weird too, but I was like, is this weird? Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm overthinking this, but someone else wrote it. So I was like, okay, I'm validated. I found it weird that they were shooting on the New York side of Niagara Falls when like she's Canadian. I'm like, why aren't we on the Canada side? I just thought that was really weird. She's literally not from Niagara Falls, New York. Like, she's from Canada. I guess they're close by. I don't know. I've never been to Niagara Falls, but...
I really wasn't even paying attention to where they were. You couldn't tell me. Like, I don't know. So, sure, maybe sound off if you too thought it was weird.
I did think it was weird. I did think it was interesting, like, to hear that Maria had never brought anyone home before. Because what I, like, read that as, too, is, like... She's also then maybe never had a significant relationship, which I think is actually really surprising, given the fact that she's like 29. And so that kind of to me was like a bit of a red flag where I'm just like, maybe she's not ready for this. If you haven't had like at least one or two significant relationships where like your boyfriend has met your family.
Yeah, that's odd. Especially since like she's so awesome. So like how hasn't she had a guy like come home? Because like who doesn't want to go... Mm-hmm. Home with Maria. I want to go home with Maria.
No, I know. So I'm like, maybe she's like not ready for marriage yet. Mm. Until she's the bachelorette. Then right. Magically then she's 3 months later, she's going to be ready.
Right. So her and Joey address like her almost leaving thing from last mm-hmm. week. Joey says they have this spark and the connection. He always like, he's never questioning if it's going to be there. But is that enough to get past their issues? But like, if your only issue is that last week she almost wanted to leave, is that like an issue? Especially like she apologized and like said she's not going to leave anymore. It just doesn't seem like a real issue.
I think the issue was more that she clearly was very in too deep in this. Like, I think Joey in his heart of hearts knew it probably isn't her. And Maria seems like out of all of the women right now, the person who like stands to maybe get the most hurt because she was saying how she's like never had a serious relationship before, never brought someone home. Like, she's really like, I think she's having a lot of firsts. And I think Joey was like, she's got to go home now. Because if she goes longer, it's going to be like way worse. Whereas I don't get the same vibe from like Rachel or Kelsey. Like, I feel like if they're towards the end there, like they're going to be fine.
Yeah, but like you're saying that she could potentially get the most hurt. She didn't shed one fucking tear. I was expecting more of an emotional exit from her, given how...
I think that was an act.
Yeah.
I think all of a sudden it was like, all right, walls back up. Like, I'm going to protect myself.
Like a tough and like exterior. I mean, she did cry when Maria's dad said, you seem like you're falling in love with him. Are you really this happy? Like, it seems like she's like almost like too good to be true. Like, it's bringing me to tears. But yeah, once it came... Oh, spoiler alert, guys. Maria goes home. She doesn't get the rose. But, yeah, Joey asks Maria's dad for his blessing. He tells Maria, though, too. And she's like, I don't think you're supposed to tell me that, which maybe gave her false hope, too.
I think so, too. Yeah. But also, I'm like, girl, have you never seen the show? Like, you know that he tells everyone
that's
that.
That's what I thought.
But yeah, her emotional reaction to that, yeah, I think was, I don't know, just very telling that, like, I think she was in too deep. And I think Joey did the right thing by sending her home now before things get worse. Isn't her dad so, like, the godfather? Yeah. You come to me on the day. I don't even know the quotes, but you know what I mean. That vibe.
Totally. So, like, the date ends, and they're watching, like, clips of home videos of Maria, which is super cute. But then, like, the entire family's peering through the windows, and they're, like, sitting on the little couch outside, and they're just, like, looking through at them. Like, why couldn't the family watch the home videos with them? So weird.
I don't know. Just give them a little moment.
They're right there outside
the window. But they still wanted
to
see the videos. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like Maria's on her first date with a 13-year-old, like, as a 13-year-old, and, like, the parents are watching to make sure they don't make out. That's what it was giving.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Maria wants to tell Joey that how strongly she's feeling, but she settles with, I appreciate you being here.
But I don't think her saying that would have made a difference at the end of the day. I mean, it clearly didn't, right? Like, she pulled him at the rose ceremony, and it seems like his mind was already made up. Nothing she was going to say is going to, like, make his heart change. Also, that rose ceremony, how many times are they going to use this, like, airport for a rose ceremony? I'm like, guys, get a new spot.
Yeah, it always looks like that. You really think it's the actual same thing?
I think it's the exact same one as Peter Weber's season.
I feel like JoJo had one in an airport, too.
I feel like they use that place a lot, but I think it's exactly the same one as Peter's, at least, but I think they have maybe used it other times, too. But it's like, geez, get a new spot.
Where was
literally
the rose ceremony? Like, what state?
In L.A.,
so then, yeah, it's probably, like, home base.
I know, but
them.
Always in a weird, like, thing with planes in the background. I don't know. It's just an odd choice, but whatever. And they think we won't notice that they've used it before.
You did.
I know. That's why I'm like, come on. We're too smart for this.
When Maria, like, asks Joey for extra time and she talks to him, like, First of all, she's like never looked better than in this moment. Like her hair looked so perfect. The dress was so great. She's just such a strikingly beautiful girl. But the look on Joey's face, he kind of had this like half smirk that was like, you're going to tell me that you're falling in love with me, aren't you? And like, I'm about to send you home in 5 minutes. And he just like was not having it. Gives her like a little hug. There was nothing there. I'm sure she had to know like walking back to the rose ceremony that it was not a good sign. But Rachel, last week when Maria got more time during the rose ceremony, and then the exact same thing happens this week, Rachel was not having it.
I know. I was kind of living for like a little bit of like a shady moment, because I love when they show us moments like that where those two people probably didn't think that like their little whispering was going to like make it on the show. And I love when it does. Yeah. But then I was also surprised too, like, because it seemed like Rachel was being kind of shady and like was annoyed. But then she was like the most affectionate when Maria left. Like she even gave her a kiss on the cheek. And I'm like, oh.
Because I think it's like, I don't actually dislike you. I probably have a very strong friendship with you. But at the same time, I'm anxious to get my rose too. And you're postponing that by your little drama. And this is not the first time it's happened. So she's probably just like fed up. But when Rachel asked her like, what was that all about? And not for nothing, Maria should be asked what that was that all about. If that was Sydney or anyone else on the show, people would have had no problem questioning it. And, you know, there's three other girls standing there. You should at least say, like, sorry or whatever. And her response was, it was just something I had to do in the moment. I'll tell you one day.
Which I understood. I mean, it was definitely awkward for her. I think she should have, like, thought of a different line or something. But at the same time, I understood, like, it's not the time for Maria to, like, get into it right then and there and be like, oh, actually, at the at my hometown, I didn't say how I really felt, so I had to pull him and let him know that I'm thinking about maybe falling in love or falling somewhere else, not quite sure yet. Like, I don't know. It just, like, isn't the time. So I understand, but it was weird because didn't she initially say, like, Rachel was like, what was that about? And she was like, I don't know. And it's like, what do you mean you don't know? I think Rachel even said that. She's like, you don't know, but you literally pulled him to talk. Like, okay.
Yeah. I think it's a thing of Maria wasn't expecting to be questioned.
Yeah.
And no, then once she's questioned, she's like, I don't have time to actually explain to you what it was. So I have to just come up with like a quick one sentence log line. I'll tell you one day. I wonder if she's told Rachel.
I think she has.
Or if Rachel's just finding out now by watching. Guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Next week, Joey gets a letter or a note, a date card-esque note that says, we need to talk, which is just the worst thing that you can ever say to someone.
Yeah. I feel like they're tricking us. Don't you think it's going to be like from Jesse Palmer and he's going to be like, hey, man, you have a date today, or like something stupid.
Or it could be one of the final three girls saying, we need to talk. And then when he goes to meet whoever it is, it's, I just really wanted more time with you. Like, that would be so lame if that's what it is, but I could see it being something as simple as that.
I kind of agree. I don't think Maria is actually coming back, sadly.
No, but that's a good theory. I haven't heard anyone say that.
Yeah, so we'll see. Is next week the Women Tell All, or next week is Fantasy Suites, then the Women Tell All?
I think it's Fantasy Suites first.
Okay.
Well, because that's when they said next week on The Bachelor, what they showed. And we haven't seen the commercial that says, all your favorites are back.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good voice.
I know. I do it great every single time. I could be Jesse Palmer if I really wanted to.
Yeah. We could one day trick people and say, we're having Jesse Palmer as a guest on the podcast, but it's just you talking in a Jesse Palmer voice and they won't know.
Yes. Well, speaking of talking in people's voices, shout out Monica, Fots Monica, who said that she's like in our Facebook group. She's like, can you guys please continue talking like Gabby? Even if you're not talking about Gabby, like your impressions of Gabby are so great that I want to keep hearing it. So yeah.
Yeah. Like your type. Yeah.
So I guess I don't know how else to say like other things other than her quotes though.
Yeah. Like what's something Gabby would say? Yeah, so next week we're doing Fantasy Suites, and I'm kind of excited, but I'm also nervous.
That was so good.
Wait, really? I didn't think it was that good. All right, I need to practice.
I don't know if I'm going to do good.
I think you will.
And then after Fantasy Suites, it's the Women Tell All, and I'm really nervous about that too. Yeah. Because Joey's like my type.
Like your type. a classic phrase. Do you think she'd come on the podcast now?
Yes.
Okay. Let's get her.
Go slide in.
Okay.
Slip and slide. Okay. Let's get out of this recap room because I want to.
Okay. Me too.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like what you hear, subscribe and give us 5 stars and write a nice review.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know what.
Just like, you know, when we're going to drop a new episode. You guys may have noticed that we have a new schedule that like our standard episode is Wednesday. An interview, if we have one, will happen on Thursday. And then Sound Off will be Friday. So like, all you got to do is make it to Wednesday. And then we've got you covered for the rest of the week.
I know. So really, it's just Monday and Tuesday, which is, well, actually, if you join our Patreon, it's actually only Monday.
Yeah.
And so that's really just one day. Who can't do one day? One casual little day. And then we have you covered.
And what's the thing from Friends? He's like, Monday, one day. Tuesday,
right, two days.
Wednesday, when? Which day?
Yeah. You only have to do one day.
Right.
Without us.
But you don't necessarily have to do one day if you're also a Patreon subscriber, because we've always got you covered. Patreon, on Patreon, we release at least 2 bonus episodes a month, plus early access to all of our episodes, also ad-free versions of our Wednesday episodes. We just released today the ranking of all of the Bachelorette promos. So every single Bachelorette poster promo from ABC. It's a video episode, and Jackie and I thoroughly go through every single one and rank on a scale from 1 to 10, which one we like. And then we, the end of the video, we have a full ranking of best to worst in order of promos.
So go check that out. Follow us. Follow Stephanie at She's All Batch. Follow me at Jackie Maroney underscore.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Oh, okay. Goodbye, bitches.